Good morning, Every Nation Church Penang. Hey. So before we start, let's all stand up. Let's commit this time to the Lord as we listen and let the Holy Spirit minister to us. Lord, we are here today, Lord God, to worship you, Lord. But we're also here to listen, to learn, and to apply what you're going to teach us today. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you have given me to preach your words today. And I pray, empower these words of mine to be your words, O Lord, for your congregation today. Give us a heart through your Holy Spirit, O Lord God, to understand and apply your words, what we're learning today. In Jesus' name we pray. We commit everything to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all be seated. Okay. Let's start. So we are currently in our topic of the Gospel Explained, where we are learning about the book of Romans. One thing that I appreciate in this topic is that this also became the devotion of our family on a nightly basis. And I want you to study it as well with your family. Explain the things that you are learning in church, in your life group, in your core of your family, which is very important. And today, we're going to talk about the author more. So we all know that Apostle Paul is the one who wrote the book of Romans. Okay, he is a Roman citizen. He is a Hebrew of Hebrews. And he is also a persecutor of Christians. He is the one who ordered the stoning of Stephen. If you will read the book of Acts, that's where you find the story of Paul. Paul also is the apostle to the Gentiles, a missionary who has a lot of 4 missionary journeys in total. And then he is also a miracle worker. Healed a lot of people, raised people from the dead as well. He is also a leader of the church. Author of 13 epistles. If you will ask me what are epistles, epistles means letters. He's leading the church on how they live their lives, how they go on through their Christian lives. And that's who Apostle Paul is. Now, let's have a recap. I know some of you needs a recap, correct? Right? We forget what we learned last Sunday. Correct? I was watching Obi-Wan Kenobi. It started already 2 weeks ago. But you will see there, the first episode has a lot of recaps, maybe around 15 minutes of recap. But you will understand the whole story if you watch the recap. So that's why we are going to have a recap. Maybe 10 to 15 minutes of this message is in recap, so that you could understand more about the Romans. Now, history is, you will see that the Romans, okay, the Bible doesn't have verses and chapters before. So imagine this letter of the whole Romans, if without the chapters, it's just a normal plain letter. But in the first Bible that adopted the verses and the chapters is in the Geneva Bible of 1560. That's where, and then after that Geneva Bible, all the succeeding Bibles have the verses and the chapters already. But I want you to look at the book of Romans as a big, whole, complete letter to the church. And in our recap, you will see here, there's a quick glance, okay. The audience in the church, the audience is the Church of Rome, predominantly Gentiles, but also include a minority of Jews. It is said that there's around 1 million population of Rome during that time, but 50,000 to 100,000 of it are Jews. Now, it is written about AD 57. It is considered as Paul's greatest work and is first among the 13 epistles that he has written. They say that this is the greatest of all the epistles that Paul has ever written. The Roman presents a basic statement of the gospel, God's plan of salvation for all the peoples, Jews and Gentiles alike. And the Romans explores the significance of Christ's sacrificial death, and it records the most systematic presentation of the doctrine of the Bible. Take note of that. Most systematic. So if you are OCD type, you will love this book because it's so systematic. And now, on the first of our recaps, you will see here in Romans 1, 1 to 7, our greetings. Greetings what? Paul's personal introduction of himself. You will see there that he says that I'm a bondservant. I am an apostle. I am separated of the gospel. And you will see there also in that introduction that he is also introducing Jesus Christ as the seed of David, as the Son of God. And through him, we have received grace and apostleship. Through him, grace comes from the Lord alone, through Jesus Christ. And you will see in Romans 1, 8 to 13, the succeeding verses, you see there that he has a desire to visit Rome. But as he visits Rome, you might ask the question, what is his reason? Why he wants to visit Rome, and that is to impart some spiritual gift to the church there. He wants to strengthen the church in Rome. So maybe he will do some trainings just like what Pastor is doing right now. He wants to be trained, so he will be training the leaders there. And then, because of their testimony, he wants to really see face to face and be mutually encouraged by their faith. That is the reason why he wants to visit Rome. And in Romans 1, 14 to 17, he has quoted that the righteous shall live by faith. When we accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Bible says very clearly, the righteous shall live by faith. You will have faith. When you have faith, you will have eternal life. Every day, you can live positively, prosperously. Why? Because you live by faith. And that is the reason why he has that passion. He is so obligated to preach the gospel. He is so eager to preach the gospel. And he is so unashamed to preach the gospel because he knows and he experienced it and he is living by faith and he wants others to live by faith. That is why he has these three things that he wants us to see, that we should be obligated, we need to be eager, and we need to be unashamed of the gospel. And why? It's because this is the reason. You will see in Romans 1, 18 to 32 says, God's wrath on unrighteousness. He understands that there is God's wrath to the unrighteous. Verse 18 says, God's wrath is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. All. No one is exempted. If you will go back here, the righteous shall live by faith. That's the very reason why he is obligated, eager, and unashamed is because of this. People will experience the wrath of God. And you will see there in Romans 1, 18 to 32 are the three God gave up. It's very clear. It's in start of all those paragraphs. You will see God gave them up on the lust of their hearts. God gave them up in dishonorable passions. God gave them up in a debased mind. A debased mind means corrupted mind. That's the reason why Paul is so eager, unashamed of the gospel, because God's wrath is upon them. And then there is, because God's wrath is there is also God's judgment. God's judgment rightly falls on those who practice such things. It's very clear. Practice, who are those such things? It goes back here. Those who are unrighteous and ungodly. You see the connection? You see the connection of the letter from the first to the current one that we are studying, that there is a very strong context and why Paul is so passionate in sharing the gospel? Because God's judgment, it is inescapable. No one is exempted. Hello, you are not like Najib, who is still right now is what? Out of prison and living luxuriously in his life. Correct? If you are not someone, if you're powerful and have money, you have the power to what? Just escape everything. No, God's judgment is inescapable. That's why you should be eager. We should be unashamed because it is inescapable. If you have a friend, you have a best friend, you have a family member, God's wrath is inescapable. There's also here that God's judgment is good. Why? He will reward those who obey with eternal life, and he will give wrath to those who are ungodly and unrighteous. But also, you will see there the goodness of God, because he is giving a chance until now for those people who are unrighteous and ungodly to repent. And then you will see there that God's judgment is righteous and God's judgment is fair. If you think you've been in a court before, God's judgment is fair for all. That is a very long recap. But it doesn't mean that the whole message is long as well. Because you will see here in Romans 12, 16 says, God's righteous before God will be justified. If you have God's law, you will be what? You will be justified. You should be the doer of the law. Okay? You show the works of the law in your life. You're not just doing it, but you see that people around you is seeing that Christ is in you. That the works of the Holy Spirit is what? Is blossoming out of your life. And then their conscience bear witness. It means every decision, conscience is needed to live righteously before God. And now, for after that long recap, I hope you have that. You have already connected everything, just like connect the dots. But you will see here, and our topic today is about uncircumcision. What is circumcision? So, I'm sorry, I cannot put any pictures there, or else YouTube will remove it. But it is the surgical removal of the foreskin of the male genitalia. Right? I made it more scientific in terms. So, foreskin of the male genitalia. And you might be asking, what is the history of circumcision? If you read Genesis 17, 10 to 14, you will see there that is for every male to be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. Every male. No, If you're an Israelite, every male. Okay, 8 days old. So if after giving birth, that male child will be circumcised after eight days. Okay, and you will see there also born in the house or brought in with your money from any foreigner. Everything under your household, every male in your household, whether foreigner, slave, must be circumcised. And that is the history. It was made by Abraham because it is a covenant between God. Covenant. It's a physical covenant between man and God. Now, in Romans 2:17 to 24, you will see here the Jewish failure. What is the failure of the Jews here? Number one, okay, you will see here. What are the characteristics of the Jews that Paul is describing? Verse 17, they call themselves Jews. Okay? If they are called Jews, okay, some people are also being converted into Jews. So they need to be what? They need to be circumcised if for them to enter Judaism. So it's not just the Israelite Jews, but also the converted Jews, okay, they call themselves Jews. Now, they rest on the law of Moses. That's what they're holding until now. They have that, they know that they are saved. They know that they are the chosen people. And they boast in God that, okay, we are the chosen. We are saved in the coming of judgment. And then they claim that they know His will. They approve the things that are excellent. And they are confident. They are confident what? To be a guide to the blind. They are confident that they are a light to those who are in darkness. They are an instructor to the foolish. A teacher and knowledgeable in the truth in the law. And they're also claiming, and Paul is rebuking them, that they are also hypocrites. That's what you see in this verse, Romans 2:17 to 24. Now, I want you to change the word Jew to a Christian. What are the characteristics of Christians that Paul is describing if it is in the modern age? We call ourselves Christians. We rest on the law. We boast that we have the salvation. We know His will. We approve of the things that are excellent. We are confident. We are telling that we are a guide to the blind, a light to those who in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher, knowledgeable of and the truth in the law, and we are also hypocrites. Ooh, that is strong. Right? Why? Because righteousness, okay, you will see here, the righteousness before God will be justified. If you will look back to Romans 12 to 16, if you are not doing the law, you are not showing the law, and that your conscience is not doing what is right, then you are a hypocrite of a Christian. Strong words, but it is true. Romans 2:23-24 says, "You who make boast in the law, do you dishonor God?" We always say in this church, honor God and make disciples. But what God is telling us is, we who boast in the law that we are Christians, do you honor God? And the most thought-provocative verse here is verse 24. "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written, People are looking at us, how we live. And when they see that we are not living as Christians, they mock us. What will people say? Ah, you're telling me that you are a Christian, but I see you that you're always drinking and smoking. You tell me that you're a Christian, you're the number one thief in the office. Are we living the talk? Are you a doer of the word? Why? Because the eyes of the world is on us. They may not have read the Bible. They may not have heard the word of God. But our lives should be something that is a living word of God. Look at this. Persons wearing Jesus. You know that you are wearing the name of Jesus Christ in your life every day. People are seeing you. We carry the name of Jesus every day. You don't carry the name of Jesus every Sunday alone. Hello. And then Mondays to Friday, you have the horn of Satan. That is a no-no. And then you have, okay, I'll wear my halo today because it's Sunday. No. You cannot be just a Sunday benchwarmer Christian. You have to be a 24/7 Christian. Because people around you are looking your life. Reflection one. Do we honor God with our lives? We always say, honor God, make disciples in this church. But one thing I will tell you this. You cannot make disciples if your lives don't honor God first. You cannot win a soul for Christ, for Jesus, if your life is crooked. If your life is rubbish before the Lord. So you have to honor God first. Because when you honor God first, it's so easy to make disciples. Because they see it in your lives. And the second part of that one is God's circumcision. Romans 2, 25 to 29. Circumcision. If you will look closely, okay, before we go there, in Romans 2, okay, you will see there. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Okay, in verse 2:25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become an uncircumcision. He's telling this to the Jews. But he's also telling us that your physical circumcision cannot save you. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. All. Take note, not just Jews, not just everyone. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, everyone needs to be circumcised. And you might be asking, is it physical circumcision? No, it's not physical circumcision. The Lord wants a circumcised heart. For it is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor circumcision that which is outward in flesh, but he is a Jew, one who is inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Your heart must be circumcised. The Lord wants to remove the foreskin of your hearts. The Lord wants to remove all of that selfishness. The Lord wants to remove all of that sin in your heart. And all of us needs to be circumcised from the heart, from the inside. A circumcised heart. That is what God wants. Point number two. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? You will see there that word counted is underlined. And then if you will go to Romans 4 verse 3, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That heart, for it to be circumcised, it needs Jesus inside. That heart should believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior to be counted righteous. Very simple. A circumcised heart, and what does that circumcised heart needs? Someone that believes in Jesus Christ. The third point is, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. Look at that. Keep the law. And then if you will go back to 2:15, it says, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. What you will see there, the work of the law written in their hearts. That your heart should keep the law. When you keep the law, okay, and when you have the law in your heart, it is automatic for you to do good. Because there's a self-awareness that, okay, I have hidden the word of the Lord in my heart, so that I will not sin against you. It was in Psalms 119 verse 11 of David. You keep the word of the law in your heart and you will not sin. You should be a doer of the law. If you go back in the verses before, you have to be a doer of the law. It should show that you are doing the law, and then conscientiously, you are making the right decisions to honor God with your life. Now, church, I will ask you one thing today. What kind of heart do you currently have today? Reflect on what you have today. What is your heart? Is this your heart right now? An uncircumcised heart who doesn't have Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The one who sits on your heart is yourself. Living in sin, having that foreskin of sin and selfishness. Is your heart like this? Second one is this, an unsurrendered heart. Is your heart like this? You may have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but He is not the King of your heart. It is still you sitting on that chair. You don't let the Holy Spirit work in your life. You don't let the Lord transform your life. You are just like a Sunday Christian, and Mondays to Saturday you are what? You are not living for Christ. Are you like this? An unsurrendered heart? Or your heart is a circumcised heart that God wants us to be?
where there is no more self, where Christ is King and Lord of your life. You remember when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior? We said, Lord, be come into our hearts. Be our Lord and Savior. When you say Lord, it means that He is the King of your heart. And you will be forgetting all of your selfishness. Because that is what God wants us to be. To have a circumcised heart, undivided for the King. This is the Lord's message today. Who are you of these three? If you are here first time, and your heart is still uncircumcised, you can raise your hands and say, I am, my heart is uncircumcised. And I need Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord and Savior. And if you are someone with an unsurrendered heart, and you want to surrender your heart to the Lord and let Him be the King of your life, raise your hand. Because God wants to reign in your life supremely. He wants you to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And if your heart is already circumcised, want to ask the Lord to sustain you with that uncircumcised heart, because the Lord will be there helping you. Anybody here who wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Is there anybody here who wants to surrender his heart completely and totally to the Lord? Raise your hand. We'll pray for you. I see one there. And if you want your heart to continuously to be uncircumcised, and the Lord will sustain you through the power of His Holy Spirit, He will sustain you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord God, because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Anyone who believes in you, Lord, will be counted as righteousness, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord God, for your saving grace. Thank you, Lord God, because you alone can circumcise our hearts. And Lord, right now, we are here, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to surrender our hearts to you totally, O Lord. We might be Christians for so long, O Lord God, but we are not doers of the Lord, and we are hypocrites, O Lord God. Forgive us, O Lord. And Lord, we ask and pray. As a church today, Lord God, we surrender our hearts to you, O Lord God. And we ask, Lord, that you will reign supremely in our hearts, O Lord God. Be the King, be the Lord, be the Savior of our lives, O Lord God. And I pray, O Lord God, as we surrender our hearts to you, O Lord God, remove every selfishness in our hearts, and you sit on our hearts, O Lord God. Totally, completely, O Lord God. Because you are the Lord and Savior of our hearts, O Lord God, and our lives. And Lord, for those who are surrendered already, those who are circumcised in hearts, I pray, O Lord God, that you empower us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, O Lord. Sustain us, Lord, till the day that you come. Sustain us, Lord, to have uncircumcised hearts. To be doers of your law. To show the people, the world, that you are living in us. and that the conscience that you have given us through your Holy Spirit, we will make decisions that honors you. Because when we honor you, it's so easy, O Lord God, to make disciples for you. And I pray, O Lord God, for this church, as we surrender our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray.